You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome to our very first episode of 2019. This is Screen Heroes. My name is Ray. I am joined by my two very handsome hosts, Ryan.
Hello.
And Derek.
Hi.
How are
we're
you
no
guys?
Longer lovely in 2019, we're handsome, which I'll take.
We're growing up.
I know.
So fast.
I carried over the lovely because that's what you did.
That's true.
Ah, so you were just transitioning.
I was.
It was a soft transition. Yeah.
It was. And now you're handsome. I do apologize. You guys could probably hear our dog in the background if you're watching live. She is decided that tonight's the night that she practices the Twilight Bark.
We are going to start tranquilizing her before the podcast, so be prepared for that.
A little bit of...
We might do it live on stream if you give us enough Patreon money.
I'll tell you what, even if you're not watching this live, I'm not going to be able to edit out every time she barks, so...
That's fair.
I'm probably just going to leave that in as our fourth host.
She just wants to be a part.
Just enjoy it, guys. This is episode, like, 200-something. Like,
it's only 145.
145? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
145. Only 145 minutes.
Only. Oh, my gosh. So tonight we're having a bit of fun. We're talking our favorites from 2018. We're talking last year's prediction episode, and we're predicting some stuff for 2019. And in a year from now, I'll have to listen to this episode again.
Yeah, so make it good.
Right.
Do you want to say hello to your future self?
Hello, future self.
Is there any advice you want to say? You'll be married the next time you listen to this.
Oh, yeah. Dear future Ray, I really hope you're a little skinnier. The end.
Okay.
That's
well,
it.
Right. That's good. Okay. Fair, I guess. I don't know.
Just gonna...
Do you guys want to leave me a message? Now's the
Ray,
time.
You're great the way you are.
Aww.
And that's true in 2018 and 2019 and 2020. So deal with it.
And I would just like to say hello and I love you to my wife.
Aww.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah, Ryan.
That's awkward.
No, okay.
Because she's not your wife yet. It's so weird.
But she will be when she's listening.
I know. I get it.
You guys are adorable.
Later.
Whatever.
In the future.
Okay. So before we talk 2019, last year we predicted some of the cool things that would happen in 2018. And we are here to tell you who's right and who's wrong about these things.
And we're all right and we're all wrong on
exactly.
Most of the things, so.
We always are. Yeah. So first of all, none of us got the top grossing movie, which is very odd. We usually do, but nobody could have predicted that Black Panther would have been the third highest grossing film of all time, let alone the highest grossing movie in the full year. We all thought it was going to be Infinity War. I thought that Fantastic Beasts had the potential to also be it. You guys thought Jurassic World. Fantastic Beasts did not even crack the top 10, but Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom was number 4.
Woot, for being kind of close.
Nice.
You guys were really close there. Yeah, I did list the top 10 top grossing films, and you know, Black Panther, Infinity War, Incredibles 2, Jurassic World, Deadpool 2, The Grinch, Mission Impossible, Fallout, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Aquaman, and Solo, A Star Wars Story.
So, it's worth saying that Aquaman was still in theaters, so I mean, it'll probably gross more than Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I would imagine.
So
yeah.
I put this list together 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So it's probably already best.
Aquaman was not on the list. I looked at it one more time 2 days ago. Aquaman was.
Gotcha.
So it just cracked the top.
Gotcha.
Now, something important to note, these are domestic U.S. numbers.
Yeah.
Right? Because Aquaman is closing in on $1 billion, and I don't think Ant-Man and the Wasp made $1 billion.
No.
So, internationally, it's doing really well.
Yeah.
Actually, so.
Quality. We went with quality for animated film because animation doesn't always crack the top 10. Crazy enough, two of them did this year. I said that the best quality film was going to be Incredibles 2. Derek said Ralph Breaks the Internet. And Ryan said Isle of Dogs. Now, it turns out that all three of those films did really well. They were all three nominated for Golden Globes. Quality-wise, they all have very high Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, and IMDb scores. So, you know, everybody loved them. Incredibles 2 happened to be the highest grossing. I personally enjoyed Ralph Breaks the Internet just a little bit more than Incredibles 2, but I actually feel like I'm the demographic for Ralph Breaks the Internet, so that's probably why. But
and I think none of us really could have predicted that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, because I mean, that if I had to go back and pick my favorite anime movie of the year, it would have been that.
But absolutely.
Until we saw the trailer. Like, that's the trailer is what really made me go, okay, well, this is really cool.
Right. Before that, it's just they're making an animated Spider-Man movie. Who cares? And it's so generic, and it's not, that's not what it is.
Yeah. Right. And I don't know that it's a higher IMDb than any of those. Probably is pretty close to Incredibles 2. It was a better movie by a lot.
Beat out all three of these for the Golden Globe, which that's is true. Absolutely incredible. First black director for an animated film ever.
Which is just shocking to me that that's the case. That's sad.
Yeah.
I've got to feel like it's big budget studio produced animated films, because you can't tell me that, you know, a black art film student never put together an animated
film. Yeah, like, that's fair.
So I feel like that's got to be a very specific category, but...
Yeah. Well, on Rotten Tomatoes, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is currently sitting at 97%.
Okay, so yeah. it's by far it's better than all of ours, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Now, Ray, to something you were saying, I love the first Incredibles. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Definitely one of my favorite superhero movies of all time. I actually enjoyed Ralph Breaks the Internet more than Incredibles 2. And the more I think about Incredibles 2... the more problems I find with it, which is not the case for Ralph Breaks the Internet.
The villain's name is Evil Endeavor. Like, her name is Evelyn Dever. It's Evil Endeavor.
Okay, see, I didn't notice that. Comic book characters have been doing that forever. So I think that was just a play on that.
Like, I had a lot of fun watching it. The Parr family, even though they went through the same thing, like, it's the exact same plot, and apparently it takes place 5 minutes later, it was still an enjoyable film.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't bad by any means.
It just wasn't anywhere near as good as the first.
Right.
And they waited so long to do it that it was like... Because they said they wanted to make sure that this movie didn't let down the memory of the first one. And I don't know if it let down, but it was definitely nowhere near as good. Yeah. And that was disappointing.
I think my problem is, because they waited as long as they did, I kind of expected this to be on the level of Toy Story 3. Which, for me, for people who listen to the show, know that I think that movie's absolutely incredible. No pun intended, but you know, this one, yeah, I mean, Incredibles 2 is good. It's not bad by any stretch. I don't think it lets the first movie down. I also don't think it elevates above the first movie either.
Right.
So
for worst superhero movie, all of us were right. And all of us were wrong at the same time. So Derek said that Dark Phoenix was going to be the worst one, and it was, considering it's the only one that didn't come out.
It was the shortest movie of the year, too.
So it got pushed to March or April, somewhere around
it's
there.
Actually April or May. Might be May, because Endgame is April, and I'm pretty sure it comes out after Endgame.
I thought it came out right before. So, I don't know.
I'll look it up for us.
But Ryan and I both had Venom. And it does have the lowest score for Rotten Tomatoes. Did not crack the top 10 grossing films. However, did well enough that they are going forward with a sequel.
Yeah.
So I think that was one of those films where fans were just strapped in. They're like, I'm going to like this no matter what the fuck happens.
And like, I think Aquaman is another one like that.
So a few things real quick. So actually, X-Men Dark Phoenix is slated for June 7th.
Oh, okay. So it's even further back farther than out. What I thought.
Good plan, because they don't want to be going against Shazam and Endgame.
Yeah, they're like, forget it. We'll just wait. Yeah. I think that's smart. I think that Venom is just, it's a weird movie. It's not what any of us expected it to be. And I think that surprised a lot of people. I think that more people got to see it because they avoided the rated R. You know, rating where, you know, Deadpool steered into it, Venom avoided it, and that allowed people to bring their families and children more easily, which always helps a movie financially. I don't really think people went into either movie, Aquaman or Venom, saying that I'm going to like it. I don't think people do that much anymore. We've seen a lot of backlash on every type of franchise when people are unhappy with their films, whether it's Star Wars, DC, you name it, people have been brutal. So I think if
I think maybe I phrased it wrong. If you're going wanting to like a movie, you're going to give it some leeway. Versus if you go in, like, with Venom, we went in going, this is probably not going to be that good. You know, we're probably going to be more harsh on it then. If you go in, like, going, I really want this movie to be good, I'm gonna, you might be more forgiving of some of the faults.
That's fair.
And I
that's
think
fair.
Even we have gotten to that point sometimes. It's like, movies just get torn apart so much in message boards just based off of, you know, initial trailers and TV spots. And I know the three of us get really tired of it sometimes because we just want to go watch a fucking film some days.
Well, I think we all have our genre, or not our genre specifically, but maybe our fandoms that we are a little more forgiving on. I think Derek with DC, and I think me with, you know, I don't know, there's something.
Star Wars?
Star Wars would be a good example, yeah, and you with maybe Harry Potter and some of those, I don't know, Fantastic Beasts.
I mean, I was actually going to use Suicide Squad as an example, because when I left the theater...
You thought it was great.
I was so happy. I had such a good time. And then, in retrospect, like, we tried to watch it again. Oh, we did watch it again. But it's not good.
We make it, like, 30 minutes in before we were like, we gotta
stop. Well, and if you go back and watch Justice League, like, we weren't thrilled with it when it came out, but it's even worse when you watch it a second time, in my opinion.
I haven't rewatched it, because...
Which says a lot.
I was nice to it. And I still kind of tore it apart, and I felt like I was being nice about the movie because I don't want this fandom to fail.
Right.
Right.
I think that's where we're all at with DC. You know, we know that if Star Wars 9, Episode 9, isn't as financially profitable, we know that Star Wars will continue. It may take some hiatus. It may not be on the big screen for a little while, but they already have the Mandalorian cast, and they're ready to start filming soon. So,
like, Clone Wars is coming back.
There you go. So, you know, Star Wars will take a break in some capacity, but it's never going to die out. DC, there's potential for it to die out. And
for
none
like
of us,
8 or 10 years, and then they'll come back with another Batman movie.
And none of us really want that. We want to see other heroes on the screen, so we're more willing to just enjoy ourselves when we see Aquaman, Shazam, Wonder Woman, too. Like,
Then you have a movie like Justice League where it was kind of hard to really enjoy it.
Because it was so bad.
You were just, like, searching for one glimmering thing in there that you could go, well, this was pretty good, though.
And there's some moments. Right. There's moments. And you can't have good moments in a 2-hour-long movie. It's got to have more than that.
Yeah.
You know?
I do think it's interesting that Aquaman has a 64% and Black Panther has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, because they're basically the same movie.
They are. With a lot of the same glaring issues, like CGI is something that we picked on for both.
It was worse than Black Panther, I think. But
I don't want to go on a tangent for that, because I feel like we could have a whole episode just dedicated to comparing and contrasting those films. So I don't want to get too much in the weeds.
I'm just saying, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is very interesting. And, like, if we have the time, I'd be definitely willing to have that conversation.
And the amount
I think
of money that each one has made, because they're both doing
very well.
I mean, Black Panther did very well. Aquaman is doing very well. And it wasn't an amazing movie.
It's not groundbreaking by any means. It's not.
But that's just it. Black Panther was. And the cultural significance that it has definitely skewed the quality of the reviews. It means more. It holds more significance just that it exists. And it has a mostly black cast. And it features people of color in ways that they've never been featured on screen before. Versus a film that... Like, it has the exact same storyline, but it's not as culturally important, so...
But, I mean, Atlanteans have never had their own movie, especially a movie cast mostly with Atlanteans, you know?
har. All right, well, if you're interested about our thoughts on either of those movies, we reviewed both of them separately, so you can go check out our backlog for that.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Now, the best superhero film, quality-wise... Black Panther has the highest score on Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, and IMDb. Derek and I both said it was going to be Black Panther. Ryan said it was going to be Incredibles 2, and Incredibles 2 only has like 3 points less, 3% less.
And I think I picked that specifically so that we didn't all pick Black Panther, because I had a feeling you guys were going to pick either Black Panther or Infinity War. If I remember right. Maybe not. Yeah. Or maybe it was because I was really hopeful for Incredibles 2 because I love the first one so much.
I mean, I can't imagine me being in the headspace of thinking Infinity War was going to be something truly special. But
I remember,
that's why I said Black Panther or Infinity War.
talking to you guys after the Infinity War trailer dropped, and I was just spellbound. I loved that trailer. And I love Endgame's trailer, too. Like, I watch it, and I go back and I watch Infinity War's trailer, and I'm like, man, this could have been better.
I actually, so, side note, it's on Netflix right now, Infinity War is.
Yeah.
And so I started watching it again, which I don't usually do with Marvel movies unless they're, like, unless it's Winter Soldier, right? Or First Avenger, because I really like that one, too. But, I've got like 45 minutes in, and I still really enjoy a lot of that movie, and there's a lot more subtle things I pick up on now that I can appreciate, and the fact that what they had to do was so crazy with all the characters and everything. I don't know. I'm less harsh on that movie than you guys are, I think, but
that's totally
going
fair.
Back and rewatching it. I mean, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah,
still.
I mean, it's one of those things where I feel like I've said this before. My real opinion on it will have to kind of wait until Endgame happens, right? Before I can really give it a full feeling on it. But I'm certainly not going to really cut them any slack because they had a lot to do because it was their decision to do it,
right?
You know. So
like, on the one hand, it makes me very curious what Whedon's was going to look like since he was the original director,
right?
For all the Avengers franchise.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, I am curious. I want to go back and rewatch it. So I think I might, because it...
Oh, I was hoping to rewatch it before Endgame, too.
Right,
but
I mean,
anything,
I want
but...
to rewatch it a little sooner.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
I mean, it is on Netflix right now,
yeah.
So, you know.
It's certainly not...
I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I mean, I don't... Maybe you guys will appreciate it more when you're not,
I don't have
the hype of the theater and all this other stuff in the release.
Well, look, we reviewed that movie too. So if you want to know our thoughts on that initially,
please,
you know, you can listen to that episode too. But
and then biggest bomb. So the biggest bomb of the year was A Wrinkle in Time. It lost the most money in comparison to how much it spent during its budget, just filming.
If you
filming.
Want our review for that, you can go check that one out. It's
and
a thrilling episode.
Well, we did have the lovely John Holloway on from Worst Comic Podcast Ever.
He's
true.
He
was lovely.
He was the best part of that episode, I think, was having...
Well, I mean, I don't know if you heard me, but I was... Yeah. But he was definitely a strong point, yeah.
Well, he was better than the movie, so...
I would never argue that.
I said that Nutcracker was going to be the biggest bomb, and I specifically said that because Disney made a movie and didn't market it, and Disney loves to market.
That's true.
Just slid it under the radar, and even a month prior, the marketing for it was so small, so... Even they knew it was going to be bad. And it was bad. It did lose money. But it also didn't spend a lot of money after it had already been made. So that's where they kind of dug themselves out of the hole. You said Solo.
I did.
Because of the backlash for Last Jedi, as well as all the
drama
on set, the controversy, the changes in
directors.
And
we hadn't seen a trailer, really.
Right,
like
they were just ignoring the movie. And look, we reviewed
and
that
you
one, too.
Wrong.
And while I actually really liked the movie a lot.
We all did.
Yeah, I mean, it did not do well financially.
Well, didn't it get number 10?
It did. It hit number 10, but when you talk about it from the perspective of it being
a Star Wars movie,
and the fact that it got a legitimate Star Wars budget too. This wasn't like a shoestring budget Star Wars film either. So they spent a lot of money on it. And you can tell, I mean, it looks good. You don't like it, you don't like it, but it looks good. Right. So yeah, that one did better than I thought it was going to do. I mean, Nutcracker and Wrinkle in Time came in as respectively my least favorite and second least favorite movies of the year.
I didn't
like either of them. So
and then Ryan said Ocean's 8, and your specific reasoning for it was because it was snuck in during all of the blockbusters.
Yeah.
And you were like, it's totally going to get lost. It did moderately well. I mean, it made back its budget and just a little bit more. So I doubt we're going to see a sequel. I doubted that even before the movie released because Sandra Bullock has done two sequels and she hates doing sequels, so she doesn't really do them anymore.
Nobody likes
sure,
the Miscongeniality sequel, I don't
know.
Speed 2.
Right. It was Speed 2 and Miss Congeniality 2. Those were the two that she's done and she is just not down to do more. So
her better films tend to be the more serious ones that wouldn't normally get a sequel.
Like Bird Box.
So, I mean, you're not
I haven't seen it.
That no spoilers. Movie is like crushing it right now.
I don't know why The Lake House didn't get a sequel, personally. I mean, Keanu Reeves and her just crushed it.
Because The River House doesn't sound as good. Like, that's all.
Where do you go from there? The Ocean House?
Yeah. It's just...
The Lake House 2, back again or something. Okay. I don't know. Whatever. Off the cuff. I don't know. Anyway.
Lake now, House
I
will say 2, what, 3D.
One movie that did compete for biggest bomb of the year was Mortal Engines, which is a huge disappointment to me because I actually like the movie.
Yeah. Poor Robert Sheehan. That man just can't get his acting career off the ground. Like, if I love Misfits. It's a superhero show on Hulu. Watch the first 3 seasons and stop right there. Just stop. But it's great. And he plays one of the Misfits and he does such a great job. He went on to do Mortal Instruments.
Oh, okay.
And that failed at the box office.
So do you think he'll be in Mortal Kombat when they...
Potentially.
Then he can just release the Mortal trilogy.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah, but Mortal Engines was really good. I'm currently reading the book by Philip Rev. And he's a horrible writer, but he's got great ideas, so I keep sticking with it.
Well, at least the first book, he wasn't that great of a writer. Maybe he got better.
Maybe. It's just like, he said the sentence, my cold body lays cold in the cold mud. And I was like, man.
He just really wants you to know it's cold. I think that's just descriptive.
I really want you to step on Legos right now, dude. Like, that was painful.
Cold Legos?
All right. Any more 2018 stuff you guys want to talk about?
Well, you asked us a couple of questions.
What
was
your favorite movie of 2018?
Do you want to go first, or should I go first?
I don't care. I'm probably gonna go with Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
I think
so good.
Not a lot. There weren't a lot of movies I went to last year that I was really like really just came out positive and enjoyed a lot. And that movie was such a surprise. Mm. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that's gonna be mine.
Okay.
That's actually mine as well.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, the surprise factor is a huge part of it. Like, it never occurred to me that they would release a Spider-Man movie that unique, that risky.
And none of us are really big Spider-Man fans, so no. This is really crazy. Except Nicolas Cage's Spider-Man. I'm a huge fan of that.
Dude, I mean, Noir Spider-Man was good. I love this movie. Like, we reviewed it, right? The only knock I had on it was I'm not a huge fan of the Fisk design himself.
You are not the
which
only
is
one.
Which really picky.
A ton right. of people like, hated that look. A ton of people
but
had
Fisk
that nitpick.
Straight up, like, does some...
Oh yeah,
dark stuff. Like his character is really good.
That's the thing. So like if I watch this movie and the one thing I can think of, I'm trying to come up with problems with this movie is just his design.
Yeah,
like that's a damn good movie. Yeah. You know,
right?
So yeah, it's absolutely my favorite movie of 2018. There's no question.
I really enjoyed a lot of the films that we didn't end up reviewing. I think my favorite one had to have been Bohemian Rhapsody, which we did, but it's. It's not a normal film for us to
review.
Didn't
that do well at the Globes, too?
It did, yeah.
It won.
Three things, didn't it? Or
I know...
Rami Malek won. It won Best Picture. And I think that might be it, because...
I'm not sure what else.
It bodes well for the Oscars.
Yeah.
It does. It does.
And then I really liked Into the Spider-Verse as probably my favorite superhero movie of the year. I loved Star is Born and, you know, A Quiet Place and... Things that I went to go see that wasn't like a Screen Heroes deal, I ended up coming out really liking.
I mean, there were some of those too. Like Creed 2 was awesome.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it. I really want to see it though.
You
it
know,
was great.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, if you like Rocky movies, you'll like Creed 2.
It's a shame that Michael B. Jordan isn't nominated for anything because of that role, because I think he just kills it. And not saying that Sylvester Stallone didn't either. It's just, I feel like I can connect with Michael B. Jordan a little bit more.
Sure. I mean, look, we did a little thing where Ray, you and I both posted our top 5 movies of the mm-hmm. year on Twitter. And I mean, he's in 2 of my top 5. Creed 2 and Black Panther both made the cut on my top 5 list along with Into the Spider-Verse. So, you know, and A Quiet Place, and I can't remember the fifth one off the top of my
head. You can go check Derek's Twitter if you'd like to
know. Yeah, check that out.
But yeah, I mean, he's a really good actor. It is unfortunate that he probably won't be recognized for either of those roles because of the nature of them, right? I mean, it's a Rocky movie, right? You know, and since the first one, people haven't taken those movies seriously. So.
And then what was your favorite TV show of 2018?
So that's an easy one for me. It's The Good Place. Yeah. I love The Good Place. I love everything about it. The tone, the style, the characters, stones. The whole concept. They're just neatly placed. It's so unique. It's so different from all the other sitcoms that are out there. I sometimes wish it was an hour long show instead of it just being a half hour comedy. But I just every time I watch an episode, I just want to see what's happening next. So that gets it for me.
It's tough because I don't remember a lot of the shows that finished in 2018. I'm trying to remember if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finished in 2018 or if it was 2017.
That's okay. If it starts in 1 year.
I really enjoyed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I think it ended in like February 2018.
Yeah.
Season 5 wasn't the best season, but it's still very good. And it's probably Daredevil Season 3. It was the most recent one that I really enjoyed. I do really love The Good Place, but it's not... That's just kind of an escape for me that I don't take it as seriously as I take some of the other shows.
Oh, sure. So, yeah.
It's tough for me to compare Daredevil Season 3 to The Good Place, you know what I mean? So
definitely.
The Good Place hits home a little bit more. Like I have a minor in philosophy, right? So like I've studied similar things, and I just love kind of how they're turning a lot of stuff on its head. And so for me, it's kind of made for me.
Gotcha.
So yeah, all those shows you guys just talked about are probably in my top and favorites, and I've really enjoyed them. I'm so behind on that. I need to catch up.
You both need to catch up.
I do
want to give an honorable mention to a show Ray and I discovered this year, which is MasterChef Junior, because I love watching children cook. It's freaking awesome.
So we don't usually watch a lot of reality TV.
Never.
if we do, it's competition based on talent usually, and watching kids cook, they're such genuine, nice people. They always make decisions not for the sake of competition, but to help one another. And it's just, they're so talented and sweet.
If it was Hell's Kitchen, Children Edition, I'd watch it.
I know you would.
No, if we're doing honorable mentions, I'm going to throw out Titans. Yeah, because we'll be reviewing it soon. Course. But that show, isn't next week?
Yeah.
That show came out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere. It came out of the depths of crap. Because everybody hated the trailer. They hated the costume design. They hated everything about it. And then it came out and it was actually enjoyable, like really good.
We
hated
that first costume look. We shit on that thing too. Absolutely. We were like, that sucks.
Other than Robin. But pretty much everybody else.
The Hawk and Dove posters, we were like, that's cool, man.
But I mean, the show, going from expecting dung to, you know, what it actually was, maybe I'm being too high on it because I expected it to be so bad, but I'll be curious to see what you guys think. I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, we're reviewing that one next week. That's the DC Universe show that ended. Or the first season that is ended.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so let's move on to 2019.
It's almost perfectly balanced. 827, that means that we're... Thanos, it's like Thanos.
So proud.
He would be not quite proud, but I mean, he'd be getting there.
He'd be getting there.
Yeah. He'd be on the verge.
All right, where do you want to start?
Derek, what are your top three most anticipated films of 2019?
All right, so I had to write all this stuff down because I didn't want to forget anything.
I appreciate that.
I didn't write any of mine down, other than the list of movies.
When we pitch a movie, Ryan comes in with three pages printed back to back, like
of the whole script.
Yes.
And I have a few notes, but so I had a really hard time narrowing it down to three. So if we have time at the end to do like honorable mentions for any of these, that would be great.
You're fine. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
So my three, and what I really wanted to pick on films that I personally am looking forward to. Not, this has nothing to do with if I think they're going to be the best or the highest grossing. I'm really excited about, and that is Alita Battle Angel, Shazam, and the live-action Aladdin.
Okay.
The original Aladdin's my favorite Disney movie of like the classic animated stuff, and as people know, Will Smith is my favorite actor, so I'm really looking forward to that. A couple honorable mentions would be Godzilla King of Monsters, Star Wars Episode 9, and if it actually releases, it's still slated to release, but I can't imagine it will, is Will Smith's Gemini Man.
Fair enough.
Which is a really cool story, so...
Okay. Ryan.
Okay. I'm going to say it's going to be very similar to Derek's. Alita is one that I think we both had on our list last year, maybe too, because it was supposed to come out last year.
Yeah.
And so I'm still looking forward to that. The latest trailer, they toned down the eyes, or they figured out the eyes a little bit. So a lot of people had problems with because the pupils were too small.
Yeah.
And it made her look a little weird for a lot of people. I didn't mind it, but now they've made the the actual eye part of the eye bigger, and it makes it look more human, because when you look at a human, the eyeball part is not super small with a lot of white around it.
These are the professional terms, right? Right.
Right. Yeah. The eyeball pieces. That little clear thing.
The white part's called the sclera.
The sclera is not massive on most people, probably. You know, it's from what you can see visually. So anyway, they adjusted it, they figured it out, and so the last trailer, a lot of people found it much more pleasing.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that one's going to do well. Shazam, Shazam Gate is still a thing.
Woo! Shazam Gate.
Yeah. So that one's a big one, and then, is going to sound cliche, but Star Wars, even though I did not really love Episode 8, I'm a Star Wars guy, always have been, and, I really want 9 to finish out. It's important to everybody. This is, potentially the last of the whole Skywalker trilogy. You know, it's a huge...
Well, this finishes up Daisy Ridley's contract, and she's discussed that at length. She doesn't want to do any more Star Wars films for quite a while. This has taken up a good chunk of her life, and... I agree.
It's a money talks. Daniel Craig was done with James Bond, and they're like, well, what if we gave you $98 million for 2 movies? And he's like, well, let me think about it.
I'm sure if they threw enough money at her, then she would probably do it. But this will be the third Skywalker trilogy, essentially.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of other interesting things that they can go do in this universe. Start a different trilogy, and, this one needs to finish strong, and I'm really hopeful that it's not another Episode 8.
That's fair.
That would tear fans' hearts out. It really would.
Ray, what about you?
I have a completely different list. So I put Detective Pikachu.
Yes.
I am anticipating that one so much. And I like the trailer is just unlike anything I've ever seen. These Pokemon look how I always picture they would.
It's unlike
what
anybody's ever seen. Yeah. Nobody's ever seen anything
like that. Mr. Mime scene looks great.
It's insanely.
I just can't get past Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu.
That's my only hang up too. I wish just about anybody else would have done the voice. I actually wish it would have been a female, because I've always pictured...
Maybe it's harder to animate the tail with a little heart.
Oh, whatever.
Pikachu has always been voiced by a female before this.
Right.
So
all the times that Pikachu has spoken English?
No, Pikachu voice has to come from somewhere.
Pika, Pika.
Yeah, that.
Oh, that's what you're... Okay.
Yeah, Derek.
I'm really looking forward to New Mutants.
If it ever comes out.
Right. That's another issue, right? we don't know. But since they released the horror film kind of trailer, it's grabbed me, and I want to go forward with it. The prospect of watching the church, I forgot what they're called. I'm so sorry. I'm a bad X-Men.
She's a bad fan.
I am.
Everybody tell her how bad she is on Twitter.
Please.
Because
tell
she's a woman.
I'm
she's
horrible.
Such a bad fan. Tell her about it. She loves that.
Ronnie Sinclair, who's played by Maisie Williams, she plays Wolfbane. Her dad is a priest, and the Purifiers. They're called the Purifiers.
Now she's not a bad fan. Tell her how great of a fan she is.
And
because she's a woman.
They're like the Westboro Baptists, only they go and they kill X-Men and other mutants.
Westboro Baptist doesn't do that?
They've had a hard time finding some of the X-Men. Okay. So.
They're looking, though.
I'm sure.
So I'm intrigued by that. And then It, Chapter 2. I wasn't as looking forward to it until they mentioned they're gonna bring in the Cosmic Turtle, and now I just have to say what the fuck they're doing with that. What the hell. And then Zombieland 2. Zombieland's one of my favorites, and I bringing in Bill Murray again and Dan Aykroyd, fuck yeah, man, this is gonna be fun. So
no Ernie Hudson. Wah, wah.
Yeah, well, he's not invited to anything.
No, that's true.
Okay.
It's an interesting one. I went into that first one having never seen the original, and I was super surprised because I really liked the first one, and I'm not usually that big of a horror fan.
Right.
I'm looking forward to the second one too. And I love turtles. God of War has a turtle with a house on its back and stuff. And that's it's ever since the Never Ending Story, right? With the turtle with the things growing on it. I've loved turtles with like things growing on them. So I'm really hoping this turtle has like a galaxy growing on it or something, because that would blow my freaking mind.
Yeah, oh, I mean, we'll see.
I don't know what it is. It's a very specific thing that I like. I like turtles with things growing on their back. And I
you
like
should
turtles.
Watch Avatar The Last Airbender. There's giant lion turtles that have entire like ecosystems.
Why are they lion turtles, though? I want them just to be regular turtles.
Sorry, every animal's mixed with something else.
Are they mutant turtles?
So Avatar's like not quite Earth, really. So yeah, all the animals are hybrids. They're like combinations
of animals.
Doesn't
that make it like half Earth?
I mean, I actually think it is Earth, kind of like a Middle Earth kind of thing, because they call themselves humans.
Okay.
But, you know.
Anyway. Which film are you guys most concerned about?
Alright, so I have three on my list.
There's a surprise.
That I'm most concerned
about. Do you have
some
honorable mentions, too?
No, just the three. So first off, I'll get the easy one out of the way, and that's Dark Phoenix. The fact that it was delayed almost a year, the fact that it's coming after Apocalypse, and it's now coming after the purchase of 20th Century Fox by Disney, I can't imagine them pulling this off well. I just don't. I don't see it happening. I can't believe it'd be worse than X3, but I expect this movie to...
You think it could be worse than Apocalypse?
Yeah, I do. I think it could be worse than Apocalypse. I think that financially it could totally bomb because people just won't be interested in it. At this point,
I think that's a problem with New Mutants too, is that because of the Fox buyout, people are knowing that these films are probably not going anywhere. You know, it's might as well be the only one in their franchise for New Mutants, because I mean, it's going to be the last one. And then X-Men Dark Phoenix, that's going to be the last one of those, because they're not going to continue the same actors and the same storylines over in the Disney thing. It's just not going to happen.
New Mutants might, because it is separate from everything else and there's no continuing story yet. So they don't have to worry about, like, big contracts from, you know, McAvoy or anything like that.
I don't think it's big contracts they're worried about. They're just wanting to wipe out everything. Yeah,
I get it. I just think New Mutants might be segregated enough for that not to matter, because it is kind of its own thing. So I also had Men in Black International.
Yeah.
Not because I don't think it will be good. I think it has a possibility of kind of being like Men in Black 2, where it's just, like, very meh and people just don't really go see it. Men in Black 3, as much as I loved it, nobody really saw it. And I think people are just kind of not interested in the franchise anymore. So we won't see it do that well. And then the third one on my list is actually Star Wars Episode 9. I think that it has the potential to be the most disappointing movie of 2019 because of the hype, because of Carrie Fisher's passing and the fact that her character is in this movie somehow, and we're not quite sure how yet. And it is... said to be the end of the Skywalker saga and so forth, that this has very high expectations to meet. And I'm not sure that they're fair expectations and that it's even possible for it to hit them. So,
yeah, that's what I had on my
mind. I think it would hit those. Like, there is ways for them to hit them. For me, anyway, I think I'm a more reasonable fan than a lot of fans. But they just need to not worry about setting up the next trilogy. Like, I'm worried that's what it's going to be. They're going to be a stinger at the end. It's like, that's not how this movie should end. It just needs to wrap up everything nicely, answer the questions that we had. You know, maybe leave one little mystery or something out there for fans to clamor about, but just wrap it up in a nice bow, throw it away, and go to the next thing. And I'm really worried they're just going to be trying to set up the next franchise.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. So those are my biggest concerns.
I'm going to say Hellboy. I only picked one because, you know, I was looking at the rules and they say only one instead of picking 17 every time. But I'm going to say Hellboy because...
This is what film are you most concerned
film
about?
Film is a singular. But anyway, Hellboy. So I was really looking forward to Hellboy. I still really am looking forward to Hellboy. But ever since the trailer came out, everybody's been hating on the makeup, the character design, that it's not Ron Perlman. They're finding any reason to hate on it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always necessarily translate to poor performance, but I do kind of feel for David Harbour, because he took it really seriously. And I listened to him on a podcast talking about it. And I mean, he went hard, and he's a serious actor. He's not just this cop from Stranger Things. Like, he really does a lot of work, and I'm worried he's not even going to get a fair shake for a character that he's really thinks is very cool and is really enjoying playing. And I really enjoy that character too. I know you guys really enjoy the character.
I mean, it's one thing if you're disappointed that the third Del Toro film is never going to happen. That's reasonable. But at the same time, I think claiming that David Harbour's doesn't look right doesn't look good. Like, it's one
thing you've never seen the actual Hellboy art from the comic books.
Right? Like, that's, I think it's disingenuous. And you might not like the cut of the trailer, and that's fine. That's a much more subjective thing. But he looks the part.
The trailer just, it wasn't for me. I didn't really connect with it. But I've connected so much with the artwork behind it and the plot synopsis that they've released. So I'm still on board. Like, I've seen trailers that I've hated before but loved the movies.
See, the trailer, the trailer was not amazing. It felt like they were trying to do Deadpool as Hellboy.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I get that. I'm hoping that's not the actual tone of the movie. But I think the complaints about the makeup weren't necessarily...
I think 100% they're unfounded.
People were saying that it looked like the prosthetics were going to pull up off his face at any given time.
I agree with that.
The only thing I noticed was that the way he talked did seem unnatural, like he had a bunch of prosthetics on. It was just a really subtle thing, and I don't think it'll bother me that much, but even in the trailer, the times he spoke, which wasn't a lot, did make it seem like maybe it was a character choice by David Harbour, but it feels more like the prosthetics were maybe limiting his...
Maybe, but I don't know. Maybe I'm desensitized to that because I watch so much sci-fi, you know, and like Star Trek and Star Wars are both very heavy-handed when it comes to that type of stuff, so I'm just used to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, what, Discovery had the thing with the Klingons with the upper and lower jaw thing, and nobody could understand what they were saying. It was awful.
But they're not speaking English, so I'm reading the subtitles anyway.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Okay, so which film is going to be the highest grossing?
You didn't tell us yours.
I did. I said Star Wars 9. That's
I'm sorry.
That's exactly what I put. I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's because I feel like they have too many eggs to put in one basket, and
they might be trying to fill a second basket with those eggs, which we hope is not happening.
So
keep your eggs in one basket.
For real. Highest grossing, guys. 2018.
I mean, there's really only two movies that are going to be...
Right. So, I mean, assuming that we count a movie's entire theater run, regardless of...
And assuming we don't have any surprises like we did this year.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, for me, it's...
It's the battle between Endgame and Star Wars.
I think it's going to be Star Wars.
Okay. I think it's going to be Endgame because Star Wars won't have their full run unless we're...
That's why I'm not counting. I'm saying if you count an entire theater's run for a film, which is only fair.
And Box Office Mojo does. They like, Aquaman still counts for 2018, even though it's making money in 2019 because it was released in 2018. So.
I think that's the only fair way to do it. And I think it's going to be Star Wars simply for two big reasons. One, it's the last time you're going to see Leia. And we saw what that did to a franchise like Fast and the Furious with Paul Walker. Imagine what that's going to do for Star Wars.
That's fair.
Right? That's number one.
This is also the last time people are going to see a lot of characters in Avengers. And the worst part is they don't even know which ones it is.
But there's a difference when the actor is no longer around. Right? Like, the Paul Walker thing was big because he had died, and it was very sad. And
while, it was in a car accident.
And while obviously his thing is tragic due to his age, Carrie Fisher's is still very sad, and she still impacted probably a larger number of people. I'm not trying to, like, I don't want to take anything away from anybody, but, you know, she's been doing this character for decades.
Yeah.
Before any of us were born. So, I really think that will push Episode 9 over the top, whereas Endgame... You know, you're going to have a lot of people go see it. A lot of people are going to go see it. But people see Star Wars movies 5, 6, 7 times. People don't really do that for anything else.
That's fair. That's a good point.
I'm just going to go against the grain and say Avengers. I think that I think that a lot of the casual people, you know, Star Wars fans are, you know, maybe not going to go see the movie 6 or 7 or 8 times. And the MCU has so many people. And this is the wrap up for so many. I'm not trying to get into an argument about it.
You made
good points. I'm just saying, you know, if we all agree it's going to be something not very interesting.
It'll be one of those two.
Considered the Leia.
I have considered the Leia thing, and I think that's worth something, but I think you can, I mean, the movie's going to come out on video. Going and seeing the movie 10 times in theaters, I don't know that there's going to be that many people doing that. Well, I think there's just as many hardcore fans of Marvel that are going to go see, even if it's super depressing, which it probably will be. They're still going to go see that.
I have a feeling both movies are going to be...
Probably. Well, I'm hoping the Star Wars ends on a high note. Yeah. But
well, I mean, you know, we don't have any way to know.
I don't know. I think Avengers has a good chance. I think you're probably right. Star Wars might get the edge just because of the Leia thing. But I think Avengers, like you said, Captain America is probably going to be dead. Iron Man may be dead. You know, these are characters that people have been following for 10 years in the movies.
And it does help that Infinity War is now on Netflix, so people who may have missed it in theaters can watch it now and get invested.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
so it that does help. Star Wars is not. Force Awakens and Last Jedi has not been put on a streaming service.
Well, I don't think anybody would watch Episode 8 anyway.
I mean, just for comparison's sake, if we just talk domestic numbers, Infinity War barely beat The Last Jedi and didn't beat The Force Awakens at even remotely.
And that's fair.
So I can't imagine Endgame making a ton more than Infinity War because it's basically the same audience. Like,
there's potential out of Disney's, let's see, there are three Marvel films coming out. There's Star Wars. There's Toy Story 4. And there are three live action Disney film adaptations. There's a chance that every single one of those films I just mentioned will crack the top 10 grossing films of 2019. It's totally possible.
It is. I'd be surprised if Dumbo did, but yeah, that's fair. What's the third one?
Lion King.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting that one's coming out this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a lot of Disney movies, but that's one I remember seeing as a kid in theaters, and so I have some amount of attachment to it, and I'm thinking of going and seeing that one when it comes out, depending on how the trailers go.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than the one I've already seen.
Speaking of, like, 2019 stuff, I actually think, because this wasn't really a question, but I think it's kind of interesting, I think Dumbo may be Tim Burton's kind of resurgence. I think this is his opportunity.
From the trailers, it looks like the most interesting Tim Burton film he's put out in about 10 years. I regret having us go and review Miss Peregrine. It was so bland and just not interesting. And then, you know, I was disappointed by the Alice in Wonderland movies, disappointed by Dark Shadows. But this is the first one in quite a long time where I've looked at it and felt an emotional connection. And I don't even feel that way about the cartoon. Like, let's face it, it was a cash grab because Fantasia failed. It's incredibly short. The main character doesn't talk. And it's racist. So
it is racist.
It's not like it's a movie adaptation I've been clamoring for.
Well, Disney would be firing itself if it went back and looked at its own tweets.
That's for sure. I just think this movie doesn't really look like a Tim Burton movie. And I think this might be his chance to kind of have a resurgence.
I think.
So that's a little prediction.
Yeah. So. Okay, so what big blockbuster film has the biggest chance of flopping?
The new Terminator.
Oh, shit. I forgot that's a thing next year.
It's a reboot.
It's not. It's a sequel to Judgment Day that ignores 3, 4, and 5. It stars Linda Hamilton as John Connor. James Cameron is returning in some capacity.
Linda Hamilton's going to be John Connor? That's right. It's a weird universe. Sarah, holy moly. Time travel.
Sarah Connor. Sorry. Sarah Connor. James Cameron.
I actually like that choice.
Yeah. I'm liking where this is going already.
Yeah. It's a bold choice.
Can't be worse than the guy that had Terminator 2 is John Connor. So.
Edward Furlong. Oh, God. Oh, that little fuck.
But James Cameron's involved. Schwarzenegger's returning. It ignores Rise of the Machine, Salvation, and Genesis, whatever.
Genesis.
I think it's just Genesis.
But I know, it's Genesis. Okay. So I really think that's got the biggest opportunity to flop and bomb because, I mean, Genesis didn't do that well and was completely panned by everybody who saw it. This is, you know, Schwarzenegger again. It's not really a reboot. I'm not sure that just attaching James Cameron's name to it is enough to bring people back to the franchise. And as much as I love Linda Hamilton and I'm really excited to see her return in the role, I'm also not sure that that name carries the weight that it used to at the box office.
That's fair. Ryan?
I mean, there's some movies that I would mention, but I think we've already gone over them. And
so
also,
anything new?
I would say, if I had to pick one, I would probably say Godzilla. I think King Kong was, for me, a huge disappointment. We talked about this. We did a review on it.
Sorry, it was a couple years ago now.
I did not enjoy it that much. I thought it was pretty bad. And so Godzilla, the trailer, was fine, I guess. I don't know. I think it's going to rely on like what Pacific Rim tried to rely on with Pacific Rim 2. Just big things fighting big things.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to do what Pacific Rim 2 did, which is not that much well.
Fair enough. I mean, you're right. That's going to be what it is. Yeah. Right? It's these titan monsters fighting each other.
Yeah. And which sounds cool. Like, that's something I should be excited about, but I'm really not that excited about it, and it makes me sad, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't expect it to be any Oscar-winning material unless it's, like, visual effects or something. But, yeah.
So I put down Artemis Fowl.
Oh, right.
Disney.
Is that a blockbuster?
Yeah. It's got a
I don't even know what it is.
It's got a blockbuster budget.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So Disney has been taking chances on these unfilmable books, so to speak, like A Wrinkle in Time, unfilmable video games like Prince of Persia, and they, like, it's just not working out for them. Historically, when they start a new franchise without any other clout to it, or it's been dead for a while, it doesn't do well. So I think while the trailer looks like the fans of the book will be very happy, it doesn't look like it's going to do well just in comparison. Disney has so much going on next year, so it may not even matter if it flops, but
yeah, I mean, they're reporting that Disney's likely to have the first, like, $4 billion box office year with everything that it owns now.
It makes sense. So,
like, their movies don't even have to break records for them to hit those numbers.
So what movies do you think are going to surprise and kind of do really well at the box office?
Ryan? I've been going first a lot.
This is a tough one. I don't know if you're talking specifically, like, movies that nobody is even on their radar. But I would probably say the Joker movie, I think, is probably going to be better than people originally gave it credit for, at least. I think there's some hype building for it now. But, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is a really good actor, and they've got some talent in the movie.
He had a great film come out this year. I don't know if either of you saw it. I watched it the other day. It's called You Weren't Really There. And, like, oh my god, it's heartbreaking. Like, he's much better than I remember him.
Well, I know, like, my big film where I really was like, wow, he's really good, was Her.
Yeah.
I hadn't really, he wasn't really on my radar before that, but then I was like, wow, okay, I can get on this bandwagon. And then when he did the random rap performances back when he went off the deep end. But yeah, Joker, I think, you know, we have talked some and said some weird things about Joker in the past that, you know, why are they making this movie? Why does it exist? You know, what's going on? But I think it might be surprisingly good. I mean, it has a good chance of being that with the talent that's there. So
fair enough. For me, I was thinking just more financially speaking rather than quality level. So I had Rocket Man and Detective Pikachu. I think they're both going to end up doing incredibly well financially. And Rocket Man's probably going to end up being a pretty big Oscar movie next year when we're talking about the Oscars. I'm sure that we'll have those conversations. But I think both of those movies are going to do very well.
Well, with Bohemian Rhapsody having done well. Granted, I think Freddie Mercury having not been alive anymore, and there's a lot of things about Queen in general that made that movie a little bit more interesting than I think an Elton John movie is going to be. But, I mean, you're right. It's going to be Oscar bait.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily as into watching an Elton John movie personally as I was Bohemian Rhapsody. But
Yeah,
I think having Elton alive to help promote the movie is probably a helpful thing. But I also
think Bohemian Rhapsody would have been done better if Freddie Mercury was alive.
No, because it's a different story, right? Like, the Elton John movie isn't going to be the same type of story. It's going to have more flash, more fantasy to it. It's not really a biopic. It's more of a
fantasy. I haven't heard much about it.
So it's more of a fantastical interpretation of his experiences.
Yeah, it's kind of like, played out as if it was in his head.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not going to be as realistic. We won't be having the conversations of what did or didn't really happen, you know, between these songs and that kind of thing. So I think it'll be easier for people to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do think it'll probably avoid some of the more controversial topics because of that, and more people will then go see it. So
I think there's a lot of potential for Captain Marvel and Shazam to do really well.
Yes.
Did you say the same movie twice?
Huh. It is kind of funny how they're both coming out in 2019, only like, what,
three weeks apart from each other?
Yeah, it's pretty great. I do think Shazam will have a better box office than Captain Marvel. And I think it's because the what grabbed kids when it first came out in comic book form, the fact that it was a small child who got to be a superhero in his spare time, I think that's going to appeal to a lot of people. I have, like, my nieces asking me to take them to go see Shazam, but they haven't mentioned Captain Marvel yet. And I'm sure they will, because they're little girls and they'll want to see a superhero film, but...
I'm hopeful about Shazam, but I think that it has some things going against it, mainly the release definitely. Of Avengers Endgame. There's you know, what, 2 weeks later?
I don't think it'll hold the box office for long.
There's 3 weekends that it could lead the box office legitimately.
How many weekends has Aquaman led the box office?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it has the ability to do that because Captain Marvel will get 3, then Shazam will get 3, and then Endgame comes out. And I think that that's a fair cadence to expect someone to see a movie every 3 weeks is much more reasonable than like every week back to back for a month like last March or this December.
Right. I feel like both those movies are going to do better than what people are kind of predicting. And I think it's because, one, we've seen good work out of the solo stuff for both Marvel and DC. Mm-hmm. And it appeals to two completely different audiences than what the past few comic book films have done. So these bring in new demographics.
I do think you're right that based on Aquaman and what it's done, that Shazam coming off of that mm-hmm. DC success will probably ride that train and be able to make... I don't know that it'll make a ton more than a Captain Marvel, but it will probably... I'm hopeful that it'll do as well as Aquaman.
Yeah.
Well, it's... I mean, it's... While Aquaman is kind of an origin story, we'd already seen him...
That's true.
In at least one movie. If you don't want to count his BVS cameo, fine. Right? But we've seen him. We know the character. Whereas Shazam is cold for most people. And so that's probably going to hinder those numbers a little bit. Whereas, you know, Captain Marvel, while she's obviously in the same boat as Shazam... It is Marvel's first woman hero, and that should give her a bit of a bump because people want to see
that.
This
is DC's first child hero.
Sure.
So I'm going to skip the next question because we actually already touched on it multiple times and we're running short on time.
Sorry.
What hyped films are you not interested in at all?
All right.
Or, like, your interest wanes, or maybe, you know we'll have to review it just because it's in our wheelhouse, but you're
Spider-Man.
Just...
Far From Home.
Yeah,
that's what I put on mine.
I have that one's absolutely on my list. The only other one that I put on there was actually Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
For those who don't know, that's the Fast and Furious spinoff with Dwayne Johnson and
Jason Statham.
Thank you.
The Transporter. Yeah.
So the Transporter, the guy from Snatch.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just. Furious 7 kind of lost me on the whole franchise. As nice as they handled Paul Walker's death, the rest of that movie is pretty terrible. And I am just so not interested.
Ronda Rousey was amazing. Like, I can't even...
I mean, she's
that.
A badass. But... What about you? Is it just Far From Home?
Yeah, I put Far From Home. Out of all the Disney movies coming out, that's if I had to rank them all, that would be, you know, number 9, number 10 of what I'm interested in. So
I'd put Lego Movie 2 out there also I never saw the first one.
I
I'm
fell
not
asleep
really
during
it.
The first one. But I loved Batman and I loved
Ninjago.
Well,
I saw the Batman Lego movie and I thought that was good. So, but the first Lego movie I've heard things about and people liked it. I never really got into it. And Lego 2, fine, whatever. It is what it is. I'm not going to go see it unless you guys make me review it.
That's fair. I'm in a position where
I asked and you were like, no, please no.
Yes.
Like, okay.
The thing is, if you were to hold those two movies up in front of me, like, here, we're going to watch one of these. Lego Movie 2 and Far From Home. I'd just rather watch the Lego movie.
I'd watch Far From Home in that case, but yeah.
I'd go outside. what 3 TV shows are you looking forward to in 2019? It could be a continuation of a 2018. It doesn't have to be a new show.
So, Star Trek Discovery Season 2, woo, that's happening.
That's not surprising to any of us here.
The currently untitled but officially announced for the fall Picard series.
Okay.
And The Good Place.
Okay, Ryan.
I'm going to say Season 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Punisher.
Season 2, and then Swamp Thing.
Nice.
Yeah, that okay. is 2019, right?
It's supposed to be. Yeah,
it seems like every time I look at it, it's so far away. I'm like,
that's getting closer.
Yeah, I know.
So I picked three movies that
TV shows.
I picked three TV shows that I haven't seen anything from other than trailers. So they're all new series: Umbrella Academy, Good Omens.
That does look interesting.
Good Omens and Batwoman.
Really, Batwoman?
Like, yeah.
So you were a big fan of her in the crossover?
She's fantastic. Ruby Rose killed that role, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm very excited the show's happening. I just feel so overwhelmed by the amount of CW content that's interconnected right now.
Well, hopefully they'll cancel Arrow soon, and then you don't have to worry about that one. Although I am liking the season.
Continuing shows, it's definitely Punisher, because I think that might be my favorite out of all of the series on
really?
Netflix. I think so.
Man,
it was just
you were
so good.
You liked it on the podcast, but you didn't
so
seem
good.
Like it was your favorite.
The more I think about it, I just feel like it's just really good. So, and American Gods is back, and
right.
I'm gonna be glued. We're watching that as soon as it comes out. It's gonna be live. Like
that was on my list
show.
Until they confirmed that the Picard show was a 2019 show. I thought it was gonna be 2020 at the earliest.
It'll be 2020.
Which shows are you most concerned about? Do you think are on the bubble or?
Well, Punisher season 2. I think it's gonna get canceled after that. I have a feeling.
I
also, Jessica
Netflix,
Jones
Marvel.
Season 3. Yeah.
For me, I was actually thinking more of shows that might actually just like drop in quality rather than be
like
Scrubs
season 9.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of where my thought process was, because like we basically know that no matter how good the Punisher and Jessica Jones are, it
they're
probably
gone.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right.
Done with it.
Which is really unfortunate.
So I had Stranger Things.
Oh yeah,
because
okay.
they're going a different direction. They're not following the same Demogorgon style story. I think they might be. It might end up as a misstep. Game of Thrones, because I really don't see how they're going to live up to the hype that people have built up.
It's like episode 9 for you. They're just, you don't think that they can...
I mean, they didn't have the books to go off of like they did, you know, for most of the rest of the show, and they have a lot that they've been telling people there's going to be a payoff
for. I'm actually more worried
that
George R.R. Martin's going to watch this, and it's going to...
Give him ideas.
It's going to influence his next book, and that'll be it.
I mean, he'll just make a novelization of the season.
Yeah.
And then third, and probably the one that I'm most hoping I'm wrong about, is Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because it changed networks.
That
and
can
while
be rough.
Sometimes it's a good thing. Like, we got an amazing finale of Scrubs before they did med school.
But Mindy Kaling's show, The Mindy Project, got picked up by Hulu, and that last season was shit. I hated every second of it.
So while I truly hope I am very wrong, because I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine and I'm super psyched that it's continuing, changing networks is never an easy thing for a show to do. There's a lot of changes that take place, and this season seems to have been made pretty quickly without much of a gap. Between its cancellation and this, so hope I'm wrong.
Ryan?
I said Ryan.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. My bad.
Okay.
The only other one I had that was different from you guys was The Walking Dead. I feel like Andrew Lincoln's departure could be very bad for the show. I think it may drop in ratings again, and this being the 9th and 10th seasons they're looking at, I think it might be done.
I think I'll tell you that the few episodes that have happened since Andrew Lincoln have left have been surprisingly good. So
it's
sad, because I do really love Andrew Lincoln, and Rick Grimes, you know, he was perfect.
Yeah.
But and Fear of the Walking Dead also is now crossing over to The Walking Dead.
There's
a character going from one show to the other. So, you know, that might give it a little bit of a boost from people that maybe watch Fear of the Walking Dead, not Walking Dead. Who knows? I don't know. But yeah,
I'm
that's probably one to be concerned
that long,
about.
To be honest.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, as soon as they announced it, I was like, okay, so they're going to have one character right in the first episode that shows up. But
yeah.
They didn't, yeah.
All right, well, that is it for our 2019 predictions, concerns.
Hopes and fears.
Hopes and fears.
Yeah. One thing we didn't mention is John Wick 3 comes out.
It's
supposed to have a higher body count than 2.
So, yeah, any movies coming out that you guys are just looking forward to? Or
Glass.
Yeah.
I think, let's see, How to Train Your Dragon 3. My girlfriend's really into dragons, so we're definitely going to see that. I need to watch the second one. I did really like the first one, though.
It was good.
Let's see. Aladdin. Yeah, I know you guys are really excited for that because you love the original. And I'll probably go see it because I'm sure we're going to review it.
I love the Disney Live adaptations. I am the demographic for that. Those are made for me in mind. So I'm on board for all of them. I'm going to go see all of them.
I mean, we didn't talk about Sonic at all, but...
Oh, jeez.
Or Kingsman 3.
Taron Egerton, no care.
I didn't really like the second one. I didn't really like the sequel.
It's a prequel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, it follows Colin Firth's character. And Mark Strong's back.
Okay, well, that's a good recipe for me.
But he's not going to sing Country Roads.
He might. Maybe we'll find out why he loves that song.
I'm trying to look, and like, this year is a little weird for me. I mean, I'm curious about Toy Story 4. I felt like 3 was such a fitting end to those characters. I feel like I don't think you could have ended a trilogy any better than that.
What about the Jumanji sequel? Are you looking forward to that?
I didn't see the other Jumanji. So I'm a little concerned about Toy Story 4, but I mean, I'll definitely go see it, I'm sure.
Are you concerned about Zombieland 2?
Right, that is this year. So Zombieland 2 I'm looking forward to at the moment. We don't know much about it because it's been kind of kept under wraps, but
they've already spoiled the cameo that wasn't spoiled at all in the first one. Like,
that was a huge surprise watching that.
But I only knew that through social media.
I think that's the problem though, is that it's been 10 years, right?
Has it really?
That's what they're releasing for the 10th anniversary.
Oh my gosh.
And the movie takes place 10 years later.
And he looked old in the last one. Bill Murray did.
It's important to think 10 years ago what the internet and social media were like and how much we knew about the movie industry as things were happening. As time goes, we just learn more. And I think that's bad. I've talked about this part of my problem with Infinity War, right? Like, I don't want to necessarily know all this stuff, but when we do these podcasts, it's impossible for me not to get stuff
spoiled.
Even
if you don't do the podcast. Yeah. I mean, that stuff is all over Facebook, people's contracts and stuff like that.
It's frustrating. It's like you know stuff. As soon as someone signs on to a movie, you tend to find out about it.
The one movie that comes into my mind with stuff like that is Tropic Thunder. We went into that movie. Nobody had any idea Tom Cruise was in it. He was uncredited.
Yep.
And that blew people away. And I was one of the people that saw that movie. I was like, oh my God, Tom Cruise is in this movie. And he's playing a really fat, ugly dude that
listens to rap.
I have
no idea how they like got him to do that. But
no,
I'm on
board. I don't know either. Also, that movie could not be made today. But
no,
probably not.
But that, if that had been spoiled, that probably would have affected my enjoyment of the movie, and I'm worried that Zombieland 2 is going to have that same issue.
Now, this is slated. It is currently scheduled to release in December, but I'm not going to be shocked if we never hear from it again. And that's the Masters of the Universe reboot.
That's right. We both mentioned that.
I mean, I'm not saying that they can't do better than the Masters of the Universe we got in the 80s, but...
I'm saying without a cast and without filming, editing, and producing is not happening.
Did the director they had drop out?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't even have a director.
So, like, I don't think that movie's happening, even though it still has the date secured. That's part of the problem, though. Like, we have some of these movies, like Gemini Man still has a date in... It's supposed to come out in October. We have zero casting information other than it's Will Smith playing the two lead roles. And
I figured we were gonna see a Bright 2 this year, and
but he's filming Bad Boys 3 right now.
But out of everything that we've talked about so far, I'm not a huge horror person, but I am looking forward to Jordan Peele's Us. I really liked Get Out, and I'm very curious what Us is going to end up being. Like, I like the idea of there's evil doppelgangers out there. So Jordan Peele has my attention.
And you were curious, speaking of horror, though, you were also kind of curious about Brightburn.
Yes. So Brightburn, it looks like it's going to be a horror Superman. Like, what happens if Clark Kent wasn't essentially a good person, but instead kind of this sociopathic asshole as a child? And yeah, the quality of the trailer is pretty poor, to be completely honest. It doesn't look like anything amazing, but the story behind it looks fantastic, so I'm interested to see it.
The only other movie that I wanted to touch on is Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which is
Guillermo
del Toro.
And those stories as a kid were horrifying.
It's slated to come out in August, so it's actually going to beat Are You Afraid of the Dark and The Addams Family into the theaters, because those two movies are happening. But this one I'm actually very curious about. We know really very little about it. There's no poster, there's no trailer, there hasn't been any set footage or photos that I'm aware of. But Del Toro rarely disappoints, and this is something that I loved as a kid, so I'm very interested.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Anything else, guys?
No, I don't think so. I think
we covered most everything.
Okay, so next week, join us live at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for our Titans review of the entire season. And if you have not watched it, you may want to pause us that week and come back.
Or just watch it now because you're listening to this. And
you got some time. It's only 10 episodes.
You've got a week. You can do this. Sorry. You can do this, guys. And then the week after, we're going to review Glass. And then the week after that, we're going back to our DCEU. We're going to write Wonder Woman. So that's kind of January for us. That's what we're doing. Join us every Tuesday live on Twitch at 8 p.m. Listen to the podcast every Friday morning. We drop it on iTunes and Spreaker and Blog Talk Radio
Google Play.
Yeah, and I guess that's we're looking into Spotify.
And that's the important thing. No, we can't do Pandora.
Okay, so Spotify.
So we're looking into some other stuff too, but pretty much almost anywhere you can get podcasts, we're there now if you have a podcast app. And yeah, we moved to Fridays for our normal release. If you were not aware, we used to be Thursdays. We are now doing Fridays.
Lastly, before we sign off, I have put together Screen Heroes playlists. We're going to be putting those up on the website. If you only want to listen to, you know, reviews of films, that'll be on there. If you only want to listen to our fan casts or our DCEU episodes, now you can. You know exactly where those are and what order to put them in. So you can create your own, but I've got the list all ready for you guys.
Before we close out, do you guys have any favorite episodes that we did last year
show? That's right.
Or favorite moments
from
our show?
I love every episode with you guys.
Aww.
Lies.
But
some of them are crappy.
My favorite episode, or my favorite moment, was when John Holloway came on for A Wrinkle in Time and he wouldn't stop doing Chris Pine impersonations. He kept saying, "Imagine it!" And it was so loud and jarring. And
imagine it!
Every time I recall it in my brain, I like giggle out loud. So I can't help but that one's it. Like, also, I don't think we had reviewed a movie that we all hated so much that it just became laughable. Like, before, we had reviewed some mediocre films that we, like, found some good parts in. But
usually
this one,
someone is, like, trying to advocate for the movie.
Right. And this one, none of us could do it. So it just became a giant joke, and it was a fun episode to record.
So for me, it's less a moment and more of a series that we kicked off, and that was that we kicked off our Fill Our Holes reviews in 2018, our retro reviews. And we did Hero, the 1966 Time Machine, and Cable Guy were the only three
very
we did,
different movies.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's a new kind of segment we're doing, and we're going to continue it in 2019, where each one of us goes through picking a movie that at least one of the others has not seen. And most of these are probably going to be fairly older films in general. We're looking for stuff, you know, 10 years old or older, and I may even push to go farther back for some of our stuff. So I really love that. I thought it was a cool way for us to kind of step out of what we normally talk about. You know, where we really focus a lot on the big blockbuster stuff and the superhero stuff. And this was a cool way for me to watch some movies that, like The Cable Guy, I just missed and never had a chance to watch.
And now you're so happy that you saw it.
And it was, I love Jim Carrey, and it was an enjoyable experience. It really was. So I'm glad that we did that. We wouldn't normally have had an opportunity to. And Hero is probably the most beautiful movie I've ever watched, if not one of the top ones. And that's something that I had missed as well, because I just didn't think about it at the time. So I'm hoping that we continue that in 2019.
I plan on it. It's on the schedule for February. It's my pick again, and I picked Children of Men, which is currently on Netflix, so nobody has to buy it.
Which I watched when I was in junior high, I think.
I never got to see that one, and I've always wanted to watch it, so that'll be good.
There you go.
Ryan, what about your moment?
I would say, okay, so I have a favorite episode and a favorite moment. My favorite episode was pitching the sitcoms.
Oh, yeah?
God, that was so much fun.
Yeah, because Derek really loves sitcoms, and like, that really came through. But we all had very different ideas of what we would
want
to do. Some more outlandish than others.
Dana Carvey to be my in-real-life dad.
Yeah,
so.
Well,
that's not going to happen.
Now you don't have to listen to the episode. So, so that was my favorite episode. my favorite moment was probably on the Fill Our Holes review for Cable Guy when we got to ask Derek about the Star Trek scene. So that for, because I had been looking forward to hearing what Derek thought about that movie, but specifically that scene since I found out he had never seen Cable Guy. Like, yeah. I had been wanting to know what he would think of that. And it didn't disappoint. So that was, yeah, those were my favorite.
Those are good guys.
Yeah, I mean, most of my favorite moments just came from when we did something different than what we normally do, which is review the new stuff. You know, when we did something else, tends to be really fun. And we
should we just stop reviewing movies?
No.
I still enjoy picking apart movies.
Okay.
But I don't want us to forget some of the other stuff that we do because it's been fun. When we talked about practical effects and we did an episode on special effects for the digital effects, and like it was just really cool talking through some of our favorite stuff.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, you can expect more of that in 2019. We've got some new segments coming up. We're going to continue old segments and see a lot of cool stuff this year. So, looking forward to 2019.
Absolutely.
Ryan, where can people find you on the internet?
On the... way. Buster Props. You can find me all over the place. We're currently in the process of transitioning over to a Shopify store from Etsy, so we're going to be opening that soon.
Cool.
To get away from Etsy and their horrible, horrible fees.
Yeah, they are pretty bad.
Yeah, look forward to that.
Derek?
I am the Star Trek Dude on Twitter. Come talk to me there. I also co-host Red Shirts and Runabouts, which is our network's Star Trek podcast, and our first episode of the year comes out this week. So yesterday, if you're listening to this, when it came out, and in a couple days, if you're watching live.
And I am Siren Ray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I forget all the social media.
And Vero.
Yeah.
The only person that hosts there anymore is Zack Snyder.
It should just be the Zack Snyder Network.
Yeah, exactly.
We will see you guys next week. What?
Well, you didn't tell them how to find the show.
I did earlier.
She did earlier.
Oh, I must have missed it.
On iTunes, Blog Talk Radio,
Spotify.
Google
Play. But what's the handle?
At Heroes Podcast.
Or at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes, that's it. Okay, guys. Bye.